Today we have before us from the Gospel the story, the parable of the sower. A parable that is often preached on and, quite frankly, needs to be explained again and again and again, because somewhere in the list we find ourselves described. We have, first, the pathway people. It says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart." This is what was sown on the path. Now, the path was the strip of land on either side of a fertile piece of land that was being plowed and planted by the farmer. And you walked between the fields on these hard, compacted, stony paths. You walked along these pathways that are pound so tight and so compact by the walking of people that anything that falls on them, regardless of it being a seed, will simply not grow. It cannot penetrate through the compacted surface of the dirt in order to get down and root in and germinate and grow. This first group of people, the pathway people, if you will, are those people who hear the gospel, but they don't understand it. They are people with whom you can talk yourself blue in the face, and they still don't get it. It doesn't do any good. It's like the words are going in one ear and out the other ear, just like talking with some teenagers. The word goes in one ear, sails through the brain and out the other end without impacting a single bit of that gray matter. These are people who are hard-headed and hard-hearted. I know some people who have hard hearts but a willing brain. And I know some people who are hard-headed but who have warm hearts. These are people who have hard heads and hard hearts. And into such a hard head and into such a hard heart, the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the seed of faith, the seed of grace, the seed of God's love, which is what the sower is sowing, friends, this seed cannot penetrate through to even take root. The pathway people. I run into these people all the time out on the internet. People who think they've heard it all, who think they know everything there is to know about God and Jesus, so don't bother them with any of the facts or any other way of looking at it. Their mind's made up. They're not gonna believe. Their mind's made up. Don't bother preaching to them. These are pathway people. And we all know some pathway people, but I want to... You know, I love to use cartoon characters and illustrations from cartoons at times, and I've been bugged by certain members of the congregation for having done that frequently, and I'm going to do that again today. Surprise, surprise. Who could possibly be a good cartoon character to illustrate the pathway people, the hard-headed, hard-hearted people who don't want to hear the truth of the gospel? And the only one I could come up with was Yosemite Sam. Hard-headed, opinionated, egotistical, wants to give everybody two rabbits for every pot. Doesn't want to listen to the long-eared galoot at all. Is a pirate. He's always the bad guy in the cartoon. He's the pirate. He's the gangster. He's the outlaw. He's always the bad guy. He is the pathway person. The pathway people, those who cannot understand, cannot receive the word of truth. And the only thing I can recommend that we do with those people, friends, is speak the gospel. Notice the sower didn't refrain from sowing the seed on the pathway. No. He sowed the seed and some of it hit the pathway. We are to continue to speak the gospel to them. They won't understand until and if God makes it possible. Secondly, are the rocky people. The rocky people. Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. These are the people who have shallow spiritual depths, shallow understandings. They're not stupid. Oh, no, not at all. Don't ever think that they're dumb. They are very smart. But they just don't think things through. If it sounds good, okay, they say. And when they hear it, they get excited about it, and they leap to it. But the problem is that just like the ground they're named after ground that has a very thin topsoil layer, just a few inches. But underneath that is solid, hard rock. And while you can get moss and some minor grasses to grow on this type of land, you can't get anything big like a shrub or a bush or a tree or a major vine to grow because why? They can't get the roots down into that rock. And they can't get enough water and they can't get enough nourishment. Therefore, their roots don't go very deeply. And there are people who are like this. People who are shallow. They don't have much topsoil in their lives. Their souls don't provide a lot of room for ruminating and thinking about the gospel, and don't provide a lot of room to consider the depths of what it is we are called to live and be as Christians. They see the topsoil surface. It looks great. The grass is green. Let's go dive in. And then they bang their heads. The problems of life come up. And they quit. They don't get deeply rooted. And so when problems come up, they get pulled up and blown away. We all know people like this. People who have started in the faith. People who have begun their Christian walks only to lay it aside at the first minor problem. We all know people like this. There have been times when I have been something of a shallow Christian. And when the problems arise, think to myself, it would be a whole lot easier to just set all this aside and be a heathen. Problems wouldn't be so much of a problem, I think. Ha-ha, if I didn't want to try to be a child of God. It's not that easy, friends. We all know people like this, people who, at the least sign of resistance, quit. At the least sign of trouble, they stop. Who might be a good cartoon character for the rocky ground people? Oh, man, I racked my brain on this one last night. Scratching my head as I was watching one of those channels where they had cartoons on. And then I saw it, and it hit me. Shallowness, shallow brain, shallow spirituality, shallow expectations, not willing to go for the whole thing, but going for the surface. Aha! Pepe Le Pew. Think about it. Pepe Le Pew. Baby, we could make beautiful music together. No, oui. And then he goes after what? Not a lefim skunk, but a cat with a white painted stripe down its back. In fact, I saw an episode once where it was Sylvester trying to get Tweety Bird. So to get the dogs out of the yard, he painted a white stripe down his back, went into the yard, the dogs saw him, ran away, he goes up the tree, gets Tweety Bird, comes down, and just as he's getting ready to eat Tweety, in comes Pepe Le Pew, baby. Le smooch. Surface only sees the outside, only sees the top level, never seems to go too deep. Not an evil character at all, something of a tragic character, who goes after the surface appearance because it looks good. but never quite makes it and never quite gets there. A tragic character indeed are the people who are rocky. They hear the gospel. They understand it a little bit, but it can't take root because they are so shallow. When we are shallow, my friends, pray for the jackhammer of God's Holy Spirit to come and make a greater opening in your foundation so that the gospel can dig itself into your life. Thorny people. Oh, I wanted to roost on this one. Thorny people. Quote from Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. These are people who have spiritual depth, who hear and understand the word. These are good, solid people, but who have so many interests which compete for their time, which compete for the call of the gospel, with the spiritual life, with the walk of faith. They have so many competing interests that get between them and Jesus that by the time they start to root in and to grow up and to blossom, along come these competing interests. Along come these competing ideas and wants and desires and things of the world to come in and to choke them off. Ask yourself some questions today. Ask yourself some questions. What is competing in your life, in the soil of your soul, with your life of faith, for your time and attention? Is it easier to watch TV than to read your Bible? Is it easier to surf the internet than to fellowship with brothers and sisters? That's where I'm hitting myself right now. Is it easier to sleep than to pray? There are good things on TV to watch. There are good websites to visit on the internet, and it's a wonderful way to email and maintain contact with family and friends. And sleep is very important for the physical and spiritual well-being of your body. But my friends, when each of these gets in the way of our spiritual walk, they become a thorn in our living for Christ. How are your thorns today, my friends? How are the competitions, the competitive aspects of your life, those things that get between you and following Jesus, how are they doing? Now, if you're sitting here today, you must admit you're fighting them because you're here. But if we are honest, we know that all of us have thorns in our lives, weeds in our lives, things and desires and wants that compete with the gospel and threaten to choke it off. Think with me for just a minute. It is easier to spend $20. $20. It's easier to spend $20 at the movies for two tickets, popcorn, and a Coke. And my friends, you can only get that at the matinee these days for $20. It's easier to spend $20 at the movies than it is to put it in the offering plate. Ouch. Ouch. Margot, now he stopped preaching and started meddling. I could take it when he's talking about the thorns of watching TV and the thorns of surfing the internet and the thorns of wanting to sleep and the thorns of going to the lake and the thorns of going to the movies and the thorns of doing the things other than the spiritual walk. But when he got on to money, he started meddling. How are the thorns in your life, my friends? Are they weeds growing up in the soil of your soul and threatening to choke off the life of the gospel in you? Are the weeds the competition in your life for your life growing in the soil of your soul? If they are, my friends, then we have before us today the gospel of Jesus Christ, which proclaims to us what it means to be good ground. Not thorny, not rocky, not pathway, but good ground. Matthew 13:23. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and another 30. These are people who hear the word, they understand it, and they take it to heart and allow it to grow, and in whom the roots of faith go deep. They don't have shallow soil, so the roots have room to spread out and to grow. They don't have a lot of weeds in their life competing for the nourishment. They don't have a lot of thorns in their life threatening to choke off the spiritual growth of faith. They have good soil, and they have the nourishment of the Holy Scriptures, the nourishment of the means of grace, my friends, to nourish and to grow the seed of faith, the seed of truth, the seed of the gospel. That is what we are called to be, my friends. Good earth, good dirt, a good field in which God plants the seed of faith into us, and we are encouraged to allow it to grow, to root down deep, and to grow. Now you may be wondering, who was the character for the thorny ground, the weedy ground? That's easy. It's Daffy Duck. Daffy Duck is a good guy, an honest guy sometimes, who knows the right thing and understands the right thing, but doesn't always do the right thing. Daffy Duck is a greedy little duck. He wants all of the gold for himself. He wants all of the attention for himself. He doesn't like it that Bugs Bunny's the more popular character. He wants the attention for himself. One cartoon, he couldn't get any applause. Daffy Duck would come out. The instant he walked out on the stage, they'd applaud. Not Daffy Duck, Bugs Bunny. Daffy Duck right out on the stage, it gets quiet and you hear crickets. Bugs Bunny come out, applause. Daffy Duck come out, crickets. So Daffy Duck puts on a little devil suit and has nitroglycerin and uranium and all sorts of other stuff that he drinks and shakes himself up, lights a match, drops it down his throat, and boom! And of course, it's a standing ovation, and Bugs Bunny comes out and says, "Hey, they love you, Daffy, they love you, Daffy, they want to see an encore." And then the camera pans up, supposedly, and you see this sort of ghostly figure of Daffy going up saying, "The problem is I can only do that trick once." He was self-centered, Daffy Duck was. He knew the right thing. He understood the right thing. He was, in general, a good guy. But there were lots of competing characteristics in him that wanted his own way. He wanted all the money for himself. He wanted all the attention and all the glory for himself, and nothing for anyone else. He is the thorny character. The good character is, of course, Bugs Bunny. That was predictable, wasn't it? Who always seemed to get the way, always seemed to do the right thing, always seemed to win. I mean, plane is curling down to crash into the ground. He's trying to stop it. He doesn't know how to stop it and runs out of gas. Or thank goodness we have air brakes. Bugs Bunny is the good ground, the ground that is always receptive and able to receive the word. We are called to be good ground, not choked with weeds, not shallow in our understanding and expectation, no, but fertile ground, watered and able to receive the word. My friends, this parable is one that we need to hear because it is so tempting to be thorny ground, weedy ground, to have many temptations in our lives to take the place of the gospel. It is also true that sometimes we are shallow ground, unwilling to accept the roots that God wants to root into us. And I pray we are never pathway ground, the way the world walks, unable to even understand and receive the seed of faith that God wants to give us. Let us pray that God would make us and transform us into truly good earth, good ground, that will receive God's grace and receive the seed of faith that God wants to plant in you and me today. Let us turn over to God the thorns, the weeds in our lives that threaten to choke this off. And let us pray that we can be deep ground, not shallow, willing to receive the gospel message. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.